the blood of the
to Leontine Price from her album God Bless America. That was Lift Every Voice and Sing by James and J. Rosamond Johnson. Here at WUSB Stony Brook, Long Island's first station of the 90s. This has been Valerie Jean with the Weekend Classical Show here at USB. I'll be back in 3 weeks, and Jim and Dave will be in doing the show for the next two Saturdays. Stay tuned for Stardate now, and following that, Eric will be in with his dose of brain damage here at 90.1.
Stardate July 7th. On today's date in the year 1959, a rare celestial phenomenon took place. A pinpoint of light in the night sky was temporarily covered over by a second shining light. It was an event that astronomers call an occultation, when one celestial body is seen to pass in front of another. In this case, it was a rare kind of occultation, of a star by a planet. The star was Regulus in the constellation Leo, and the planet was Earth's next-door neighbor, Venus. Venus is about the same size as Earth, and Regulus is really hundreds of times larger, about five times the diameter of our sun. But Venus is millions of times closer to us, and although it looks like a point of light to the naked eye, it's more like a tiny moon when seen through a telescope. On the other hand, at 85 light years away, Regulus remains a pinpoint even through a telescope, which is why the small planet Venus could blot out the giant star for about 10 minutes. Occultations are common, but nearly all the ones observed by astronomers involve the moon covering up a star. An occultation of a star by a planet is extremely rare, but when it does occur, it gives scientists a chance to conduct Earth-bound studies of the atmosphere of the planet. Venus won't occult another star as bright as Regulus for at least several centuries. Luckily, though, we no longer need the occultations to learn about the atmosphere of Venus. Soviet and U.S. spacecraft are doing the job quite nicely. This is Stardate. Our writer and producer is Deborah Bird. Stardate and Stardate Magazine are produced by the MacDonald Observatory at the University of Texas. And for the MacDonald Observatory, I'm Joel Block.
We now return to our recording, already in progress.
What did you say?
We now return to our recording, already in progress.
What did you say?
We now return to our recording, already in progress.
What did you say?
We now return to our recording, already in progress.
What did you say?
We now return to our recording, already in...
1 has been changed. The new number is 2. Please make a note of it.
Please repeat.
The number you have reached has been changed. The new number has been disconnected.
Ring damage.
Möchten Sie etwas zu trinken haben?
Deja vu.
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
Can you say deja vu?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
Can you say deja vu?
Good evening, Vice President Nixon.
Good evening, Mr. Howe.
Welches sind die Regenbogenfarben?
Do not push a key in 3 seconds. You will be disconnected.
Mein Bruder ist jünger als ich.
Brain Damage is underwritten by a grant from the Little Computer Shop, located in the Model Shopping Mall in Centereach. Phone number 467-4352. The Little Computer Shop stocks the latest in hardware, software, and computer publications.
Hello, this is the phone mail system. If you are calling from your own extension, push enter or pound. If not, you may either enter your extension or your name. To enter an extension, dial the extension and then push enter or pound. To enter your name, dial your last name followed by first name until recognized. Please select the name from the following list. 4. The name spelled W-U-S-B-I-N-F-O-L-I-N-E. Push 1. The name spelled W-U-S-B-I-N-F-O-L-I-N-E-I-I. Push 2. To continue entering the name, push star. To redial the name or number, push pound. You entered the name spelled W-U-S-B-I-N-F-O-L-I-N-E. If this is correct, dial your password and then push enter or pound. If not, push stop or star. To listen, push 3. Record, push 1. Change personal options, push 8. Transfer out of phone mail, push 7, then 0. You have one new message. Message 1 from extension 26500 was received at 10:10 p.m. today.
Hello. Don't forget to listen to Brain Damage tonight from 10 o'clock until midnight on WUSB, Stony Brook.
Germany
to delete,
today.
Push 6.
People,
save,
places,
push 4. Replay, push 7,
the
then 3.
Too. From Bonn, Berlin, and New York. Timely coverage of the events and issues inside Germany that are important to America.
This is Germany Today. I'm Lee Murphy in New York with Joseph Fleming, Laura Zonka, and Steve Merchinsky reporting from Germany. Monetary and economic union comes to the Germanies as Bonn offers a huge credit for Moscow to aid Gorbachev's perestroika. NATO, yes. GIs, yes. And one German army. That reportedly is the military future in Germany. Checkpoint Charlie may be gone, but not forgotten by one correspondent who was there when it all began. Bonn plays host to a big summer show for young artists from across Europe. We go museum hopping. And GIs welcome Berliners, east and west, to their big open house. Details in a moment on Germany Today. Question. What weighs 475 tons, yet was virtually invisible until the first of the month? Answer. The 25 billion West German marks Bonn had transferred to East German bank vaults in readiness for the merger of two into one German monetary system. The process of getting all that hard cash into the GDR began back in May, and everyone connected with the operation says it went smoothly. So, apparently, are other aspects of the economic and political union of the nation's two distinct entities. Another big commitment from Bonn, as it puts its money where its heart is in unification, the Kohl government has pledged a 5 billion mark credit to assist Soviet efforts to construct a market economy and make democratic political reforms. Much will change in the weeks and months ahead as reunification becomes fact, and yet, in fact, some things will not change.
Many Germans have two fears. They are concerned that the Soviet Union will try to keep its forces in what is now East Germany after unification for an indefinite period. And they are apprehensive the Americans might go home. The government has expressed itself clearly on both points. Chancellor Helmut Kohl has said repeatedly, a unified Germany will remain in NATO and American troops will stay. He grants that Soviet troops will remain in what is now East Germany for a transitional period of perhaps 2 or 3 years. Time after time, he has rejected various proposals of Soviet leader Mikhail Gorbachev to neutralize Germany, even give it some form of membership in both the Warsaw Pact and NATO. The opposition Social Democrats back Kohl's stand. No party will win an election in Germany with the cry, Americans go home. The American presence is taken so much for granted that politicians are surprised when asked about it. Peter Peterson, a member of parliament of Chancellor Helmut Kohl's Christian Democrats, could not be more emphatic when asked if unification would mean the departure of the American forces.
Certainly not. The American military presence is also a political presence, and both are needed in view of the fact that the Soviet Union will remain a strong military power, whatever happens.
NATO membership and the American presence go together. One of the arguments used by West Germans to advocate NATO membership of a unified Germany is that the Americans will be a stabilizing force. As long as the Americans remain, this reasoning goes, a unified Germany would not be free to take military action on its own. West Germany also contends that the alliance with the United States is not a barrier to disarmament and East-West cooperation. Lieutenant Colonel Helmut Fischer, a spokesman for the Defense Ministry, explains this.
The German government has always emphasized that the unified Germany will be a member of NATO. This alliance plays an essential role as a stabilizing factor for the development of the concept of cooperative security in Europe. Despite the need that the alliance has to meet new political challenges and that its strategy has to be redefined, a credible defense capability is a must, considering the conventional superiority of the Soviet Union, which is still existing and will exist for the next years. A credible defense capability requires the presence of U.S. forces in Europe.
There is no sign of German wavering on this issue. Joseph Fleming in Bonn.
So American forces at some meaningful level will remain in Germany, and German forces will remain in NATO. But will there be one German army or two? According to Roland Sommer, a leading West German military affairs expert, Bonn's defense minister Gerhard Stoltenberg sees the issue as settled in a manner that should please the Western alliance.
The defense minister left no doubt that there will soon be one German parliament, one government, and consequently one German army. There will be a reduction in arms and forces, but only in accordance with agreements reached at the Vienna talks on reducing conventional arms and forces.
As Bonn reportedly sees it, military restructuring will begin soon after reunification, and apparently, if the Vienna arms talks go well, troop-level reductions might soon be implemented. In addition, the Eastern troops reportedly would be organized as a territorial force, and compulsory service time will be reduced from 15 to 12 months. Along with German unity, as Germans well know, comes the European unity scheduled for creation in 1992. But one institution in Bonn isn't waiting. The Women's Museum plays host this summer to the works of 61 young artists from 8 European community countries in Switzerland. Germany Today's Laura Zanke went to the show opening and files this report.
As Europe moves toward political and economic union, efforts are also underway to cross cultural divides as well. The exhibition, called Germinations 5, is designed to do just that. It gives young artists under the age of 30 the opportunity to participate in a professional exhibition and to make contact with art critics, sponsors of the arts, and each other. It also provides the public with exposure to what is called young art from different European countries. Germinations started out 5 years ago as a project of the French-German Youth Society. Last year, there were 4 participating countries. This year, 9. And next year, organizers are hoping it will include artists from all 12 EC countries, because according to Museum Secretary Barbara Wiesel, true unity cannot exist without cultural understanding.
For us, the culture idea is very interesting and very necessary. Because we think that it must be very interesting for people when they come in and see the exhibition to look and see that all over Europe there is something which we call young art.
Although the Frauen Museum is usually reserved for exhibiting women artists, there is widespread agreement that the women clear out of this former warehouse at least once or twice a year to make room for young artists, some of which happen to be men. This is Laura Zanka in Bonn.
Checkpoint Charlie has gone to a museum that could someday house all the sad symbols of the Cold War. Joe Fleming was there on assignment in Berlin when the whole sorry business began, and we ask him for his memories.
Now that the wall is coming down all along the Berlin border, it is easy to forget in jubilation the dangerous East-West confrontation that took place when the communists built the wall 29 years ago. The most dramatic incident took place at the U.S. Army's Checkpoint Charlie, 2 months after the wall went up. For 16 tension-filled hours, 10 American tanks and 10 Soviet tanks faced each other only about 100 yards apart. General Lucius D. Clay, the blockade hero who had been sent back to the city by President Kennedy, ordered the tanks to the checkpoint to enforce the right of American diplomats and soldiers to enter East Berlin without East German controls. Clay was convinced the Russians would back down if the Americans stood up for their rights. He was right. The Russians sent to the border to face the Americans withdrew after 16 hours. I spoke to Clay after the incident. He said the appearance of the Russian tanks refuted the Soviet stand that the actions of sovereign East Germany were no Russian concern. It strengthened Clay's belief that if the Americans had acted when the East Germans began to seal off the border in 1961, the Russians would not have intervened. Joseph Fleming in Bonn.
It's a year of togetherness. And here's a happy moment of togetherness in that year of togetherness.
Hiya, friends, and I hope you're feeling fine. In fact, why not come to Berlin and join the army? That's what lots of Germans did, both East and West Germans, as they were invited to the American Army's first ever open house. Now, could someone tell me what that is?
I guess what it is to bring the German people out to meet the Americans, see how we live, and we can try to understand them, too, at the same time.
We've just thrown the gates open.
Come on, people, now. Smile on your brother. Everybody get together. Try to love one another right now.
Ooh, I like America. I like the American people.
I think it's so groovy now that people are back.
Well, of course, it's not just German and American people getting together, but Germans and American military people. And with the two Germanys getting together as well, the best bet is that the military will leave. It sounds like a blessing, unless, of course, you're afraid of something.
I think many Germans, they are national, so it's better they're British and American and French people are here, military.
The British Army, USA Army, or... French. I feel more safe.
Well, it's always nice to feel needed, but after over 40 years and the Soviet threat largely gone, why really should the Allies stay?
You are on the fence. British, French, and the French. French.
And Americans.
And American friends.
Reporting from Berlin, I'm Steve Merchinsky.
In New York, I'm Lee Murphy.
And in Stony Brook, I'm Eric Corley.
Yeah, the mirror of dreams of beauty. Yeah, the looking glass of pride and ruin vanity. This is your glass of darkness. Thank you.
this is Matt with the Concert Billboard.
Need any more debates. I've spelled out my position. There will be no more debates.
Yes, I need AT&T, please.
Sure, just a moment.
Thank you.
One moment for an operator who can assist you. Thank you.
AT&T, I can help you.
Yes, hello. I need overseas information, please. Albania.
Albania?
That's correct.
One moment, please.
Thank you.
Okay. I can't dial up. Hold on a second.
Thank you.
How can we help? Yes, operator. We're calling from a 97 phone. It's an on-coin 516-632-6000 information in Albania. All right, restricted thanks. Phone. All right, thanks. Hello.
Hi, I'm just curious. What's a 97 phone?
That's what I'm going to look up. Hold on.
Oh, okay.
The answer is no. I'm not going to have any more debate. We don't need
any.
Okay,
you can't
tell to the number you're at. Okay, what is it?
Okay, that would be 516-632-6901.
Okay, we'll call you back at that number.
Okay, can you just repeat that and make sure you have it right?
Sure, 516-632-6901.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
And that is the number to call, folks. 632-690.1. Good evening.
Hi, how you doing?
Okay, how are you?
It's Jeff from the station, Eric.
Whoopity-doo. What do you want?
I want to say hi.
Hi.
How you doing?
I'm fine.
Yeah, great show, Eric.
Well, I'm glad you feel so.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, trying to call Albania. Did Glover call back?
They always do, don't they?
I don't know. I never listen. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, just kidding. What can we do for you, huh?
Absolutely nothing.
Absolutely nothing?
Absolutely nothing.
Okay, well, that's what you're going to leave with.
Okay.
Thanks for calling. 632-6901, area code 516. The program is Brain Damage. And we're on until midnight. We don't necessarily have to talk about German unification or Albanians or all that stuff we usually talk about. We can talk about anything you want. That just happens to be what's on my mind, as always. I guess I'm sort of locked into that mode. But it has been an interesting week. It's been a week of Albanians flooding Western missions all throughout various parts of their country. And all kinds of other things have been happening, too. We'll be looking at the news. We'll be looking at the weather, even. And we'll be looking at the time, but that's later on. We don't want to do too much at once. But we really want to hear from you. 632-6901, because we know you're out there. We know you're out there driving around or sitting at home with nothing else to do on a Saturday night. It happens. It's 10:37. This is Eric Corley, and the program is Brain Damage. And how about those Albanians? Hundreds of them flocked to foreign embassies in the capital city of Tirana. And that happened on Thursday. Actually, that happened yesterday. That's right, Friday, in a new rush to flee, Europe's last Stalinist state. And that's according to diplomatic sources. The Albanian ambassador to Italy said his government would allow refugees who had committed no crime to emigrate. Of course, wanting to emigrate is a crime, so I don't know how that's going to work out. The European community had called on Albania to grant the asylum seekers safe passage out of the country amid reports that security police had shot at refugees and had tried to seal off the Tirana district housing most of the foreign missions. The government had offered the Albanians in the embassies free passage to apply for passports, but the refugees refused to budge. In Rome, Albanian ambassador Dashnor Devishi said in a television interview, "The Presidium of the People's Assembly has decided that all vagabonds seeking asylum in embassies who have not committed any crime will have passports and visas to leave. But you have to be a vagabond." Now, the Austria press agency, however, reported that Albania had reimposed some travel restrictions only 2 days after they were lifted. The Austrian report, apparently based on official sources in Tirana, said the measure was necessary because of the alarming situation in front of the foreign missions. Fascinating. We've been following Albania now for years, decades almost, and all of a sudden Albania is on the front page of the newspapers. You heard it here first, folks. You knew it was going to happen. You knew it was going to happen, and we were on top of the story. Now we've got that phone call in Albania. We've made a reservation. I don't know if we'll get through, but at least we're trying. That's the important thing. If you know the phone number for Radio Tirana in Albania, you'd save us a lot of time, because then we could just call there direct and won't have to wait for information. I keep forgetting to bring the number in. I have it written down somewhere, but I never remember to bring it. It's only a 4-digit number. So if you have the number, if you have a copy of the Radio TV handbook, whatever, World Radio and TV handbook that has the number printed in it, so give us a call, 632-6901, if you have any kind of information. Good evening. Well, that's real nice, but I don't think I have that record. 632-6901. Now, on Tuesday, a new Albanian law went into effect allowing any adult to apply for a passport. The law also said that Albanians holding passports could apply directly to foreign embassies for visas. The Austrian report said the government announced yesterday that Albanians could no longer apply to the embassies for visas. The Austrian news agency also said no agreement had been reached on the refugees in a meeting between Yugoslav Ambassador Novak Pribicevic, righto, and Bashki Dino, director at the Albanian Foreign Ministry. Pribicevic had been chosen to represent other foreign diplomats in the talks. The latest influx of asylum seekers was reportedly much bigger than the one earlier in the week, when dozens of Albanians rammed trucks through embassy gates or scaled walls, some dodging police bullets. French diplomatic sources said that about 100 Albanians had entered the French embassy, 400 others had flocked to the West German mission, and more were on the way. Refugees also were streaming into the Italian and Czechoslovak embassies, but exact figures were not available. West Germany said the number of people at its embassy in Tirana was about 200. The storming of the embassies followed violent street protests and what appeared to be public frustration over the isolationist government's slow and selective implementation of a decision to grant passports to people wanting to go abroad. The ambassador in Rome said that many of those trying to enter embassies in Tirana were not genuine asylum seekers, but hardened ex-criminals. Hardened ex-criminals? Interesting. And that this was why police had intervened. And asked about an Austrian news report that two Albanians had been killed trying to enter the West German embassy, the West German Foreign Ministry said it was not aware of such an incident. So, the whole situation is exploding, folks, right in front of our eyes. And Albania is the last Stalinist state in Eastern Europe. And we'll have to see what happens. We'd like your opinion, because your opinion is important to us. And, of course, your opinion gets forwarded on to other people that might actually have a say in such matters. Just our way of passing along information. 632-6901 is our telephone number, area code 516. The program is Brain Damage, but we'd also like to talk about local things, such as, what did you do for the 4th of July? Did you go to the fireworks at Smith Haven Mall? Did you have a barbecue somewhere? Did you, what happened? What happened here? That's what we'd like to keep updated, because we have to keep a log of these things, folks. Part of our station requirement is that we keep track of what our listeners do. And we're interested. You know, we take a genuine interest as well. We don't just sit here asking for the details of your day-to-day life to keep us busy. We ask for it because we genuinely care. And what other radio station can say that? Well, they can all say that, but what other radio station means it? Only we mean it, folks. We care. We want to know, Come on. Ruth, over in Middle Island, is it? Come on, did you break up with your husband yet? Call us up. Let us know the details of your life. We need to know. 632-6901. And, of course, the other people on Long Island are sitting by their radios waiting to find out what is happening in other people's lives. You know, it all kind of interrelates. Why do you think people watch so much television? They want to know what's going on, but you can share your real life. Simple as that. 632-6901. Let's see who's out there. Good evening. Hello? All right. I counter that with a 9. Okay. We're playing a game of touch-tone chess here, apparently. But they're in trouble now. 632-6901. We know you're out there. We know you're shy. And we know that the first person who calls up is always the smartest person who calls up. So far, we haven't had anybody call of worth, that is. So if you dial 632-6901 now and become the first caller, you will be, in effect, elevating yourself to a position you haven't been at before. And anyone can call. Anyone can pick up the phone. I mean, how easy can we make it for you? You know, we can call you, I suppose, but, we're asking you to call us. 632-6901. I hear a phone ringing, but I don't see a phone ringing, which means there's something wrong with the phone here. I don't know. Anyway, it's 44 minutes after 10 o'clock, and we were listening to music from Clock DVA, a new record from Clock DVA called Sound Mirror. Sound Mirror Program 5 and Program 6. I don't know why it's Program 5 and Program 6 when there's no other programs on here. We also have... Well, Clock DVA is a very confusing group. They don't number their sides. They don't tell you what speed the record is at. But I can tell you that we were listening to Sound Mirror. And on the other side, we have the Sonology of Sex Part 2. Or did I just turn the record over twice? I just turned the record over twice, I think. Somebody wrote on here 45 RPM, which is very nice of them. It's a public service announcement. We're going to put this on in the background because it's nice background music to have on from Clock. Yeah, the mirror of dreams. Oh, that's not background. Okay, all right. Everything's under control here.
We've had some surprise guests show up all of a sudden. Making a great deal of noise here. Folks, if you knew who was here, you would be shocked. I'll give you one last chance to call up before we direct all attention away from the phones and onto the special people in the studio. There's not much time left, folks. 632-6901. Let's take a call or two, but then we're going to have to go to more important things, eh? 632-6901. We only have one open line. Okay, we had a few phone calls, and they all disappeared, so call back. I was trying to fix something in the studios. No need to get all huffy about it. We'll take your call in the next minute if you call back. 632-6901. Well, by the way, for those of you setting your clocks and VCRs and things like that, there won't be a Tripods tonight. They're on vacation. In fact, I'm going to be on vacation for the next 4 weeks after this, so there won't be any more Tripods until August. That's the way it goes sometimes. It's kind of sad, but consider it a well-deserved rest. All right, 632-6901, area code 516. Call in now because we've got a special guest. Actually, a couple of special guests. Yeah, you're in brain damage.
Yeah, hello.
Hi.
Hi, my name's Mark, and I live in Money Grove.
Okay, that sounds good. How you doing?
All right, I just wanted to talk about, did you ever think about what's happening to the United States nowadays, and, like, how with the legal system, everything that's going on, people are trying to, like, try each other for this and try each other for that? And I've been thinking, like, I think this whole country's actually just going right down the tube.
Well, in what way is it going down the tube?
I mean, to me, it seems like the way when the original, whatever you want to call it, forefathers of the United States, wrote up the Constitution. They want laws to protect the innocent. But in a lot of ways, the innocent, which I think a lot of people who are innocent are really guilty, are finding so many different ways to, like, weasel out of it. Like saying, like they're insane for 5 minutes, like Satan possessed them or something. I mean, I just don't know. I think something should be done about that.
Do you think that we're assumed innocent until proven guilty, or is it perhaps the other way around?
No, we're innocent until proven guilty. I know that. It's just like even the guilty people assume they're innocent. They're like, in their minds, they think to themselves, I'm innocent. I know I'm innocent, even though they did something, and they can get away with it, and it's pretty stupid.
Uh-huh. Well, don't you think it works the other way, too, though, where people are assumed guilty until proven innocent? By the press, by the legal system?
Yeah, I understand it works that way, too. And I just think that it's just a lot of things are happening nowadays in this country with politics and law. And the rich people always come out and the poor people always on the bottom. It's just not very good what's happening.
So how do we change?
If it was up to me, I would take all the people who are in the government that are, like, wrongdoers. I mean, it's not up to me who would say are wrongdoers. But I think, like, the Constitution should be changed in some ways. And a lot of things should be made different. Like even today you hear stuff about the First Amendment and all this. I mean, if people want to say what they want on records and tapes, you don't have to listen to it if you don't like it. And I don't think they should ban certain groups.
So there's no need to change the Constitution, then. The Constitution allows for that.
Well, all right, yeah, I guess you're right, Dan, yeah. But
I mean,
I don't know. I think that they should do a lot of changes in this country. That's a lot of different things.
Uh-huh.
It just seems like the youth of this country is a lot smarter than they were in past years, and they're understanding that this country's falling apart, I think.
And what can put it back together?
I would say what could put it back together is all the kids and youth, like teenagers, shouldn't, like, mess up in school, you know. They should really try their best to become politicians one day themselves, because a lot of kids might think that way, that, oh, I could be a politician someday. But they can, and that's what's going to change it.
Well, not necessarily just being a politician, but just being anybody with a brain, you know, that inspires discussions and is able to talk intelligently on matters.
Yeah, I know. That's how you got to go about doing it. And I think sometimes what happens when people my age are in their 30s, and I think that a lot of them are going to just, some of them haven't even walked up yet. I mean, they're going to get hit in the head with a big brick when they get older.
Well, in a manner of speaking, yes, I suppose you're right.
Because, I mean, like, a lot of people that I know are like, in the 60s, everyone was like, not everyone, but most people were like hippies, and they went to Woodstock and all that. And like, nowadays, people are saying, oh, I'm an anarchist and everything. But a lot of people think that an anarchist is just someone who's going to go out and destroy everything, but a real anarchist would start from the government. They'd become a politician and then work their way to corrupting the government, you know?
Uh-huh.
And lot of people think they know what they're talking about, but they really have no idea what they're talking about.
The government's been doing a pretty good job corrupting itself, though, you know?
Yeah,
it
I know.
Makes
it's
you
pretty
wonder.
Much falling apart.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know. I think people should get the real word on what's going on in this country. I mean, because Japan and all that tries to tariff our goods in their country. What do we do here to their goods? Not as much as they do to us. And like with the HDTV and the electromagnetic things that are being invented, this country has to do a lot more to get into it before we're a second. Well, I think that we pretty much are a second world country already. But it'd be better if we were first world. Like, I think Japan and Germany are like first world countries, and we're like pretty much second world now.
Uh-huh.
And I think that something should be done soon before that this country is in total trash.
Okay, well, let's hope people hear what you're saying.
All right.
All right?
All right, thank you.
Thanks for calling.
All right, bye.
632-6901. Good evening.
Yeah, Eric, how are you tonight?
I'm fine. How are you?
Yeah, I'm okay. You know, I have to agree with the guy who spoke before, you know? Before, you always talk about this unification of Germany stuff. But you must fix your own problems, you know. Your nation, it's falling apart, you know. You're just worrying about all this senseless stuff. You know, Germany's becoming so great. And you, yourself, you're falling apart. You should look in your own borders. You should make your show and revolve your show around the problems of your own country before you start with Germany, you know.
Well, I can't get tapes from our own country. They do get tapes from Germany. What's the biggest problem you see?
Here?
Yeah.
Look at the media. It's destroying this nation. I mean, a freedom of speech is the one thing, but when you talk about going into people's private lives and taking governments and making slanders about the president and stuff like this, this is false media.
Slanders about what president?
This President George Bush, you know.
Who's slandering him besides...
The media always does it. Come on, please.
Well, give me a specific example.
There's plenty of examples. You'll probably see one in the paper tomorrow.
Well,
not the point.
You must have one in your mind.
I'm not here to argue with you. I just want to tell you that you should start worrying about your country first before we leave you in the dust and Japan leaves you in the dust and all of Europe leaves you in the dust. Because we will not help to pick you up, you know.
Well, it's pretty dusty already, but, you know, I mean, I am plenty worried about this country already. I mean...
You know, one thing about the news, in Arizona, they have a new VCR, you know. It's good to hear that America's inventing something these days. It's a special VCR that has many functions that you should read about. I'm sure you'll find in your scientific journal someday.
What kind of features?
It takes two cassette tapes and join them together to one. You can record a tape and play a tape at the same time, and it has a lot of different features. I myself have not been too experienced with this product yet, but I've just read in the New York Times today about it.
Wow. Well, that sounds like our salvation, doesn't it?
Yes, well, maybe it is. Good night.
Okay, thanks for calling and for just being there. 632-6901, that's our phone number, and we'll take a few more calls here. Whatever's on your mind, what'd you do for the 4th of July for Independence Day? I don't like, excuse me, it's like gag here. All that kind of thing. I've got something interesting here. This Albania update? Okay, this is new. The government of Albania says it's replaced several hardliners in the shakeup of the ruling Politburo and Central Committee. The move comes as thousands of Albanians continue to crowd into foreign embassies in hopes of fleeing their communist homeland. So, take an East German path, it looks like. We'll see what happens next. All right, predictions on this, folks. Predictions. What's going to happen next in Albania? Where will it be next week at this time? Next year at this time? Should be fascinating. Good evening.
Hey, Eric.
How you doing?
Tom Baker.
Tom Baker.
How you doing?
All right.
You're doing a serious show for a change, I hear.
I always do a serious show. All right, not always, but most of the time.
What happened? We have the last installment of Tripods.
Well, Tripods are on summer vacation.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I'm sorry to have to break it this soon. But as you recall, last week was a cliffhanger. Kathy announced that she is seeking divorce from Howard.
Uh-huh.
And I'm afraid everyone's just going to have to sweat that out over the summer. However, in late August, we will resume at that point. We won't have any repeats. We'll resume at that point, and, you know, we'll have to find out how that drama unfolds.
Well, you going to be out? I want to place dibs on your show, man. You need somebody to replace you? You got that all lined up.
Well, perhaps we shouldn't talk about who's going to replace me on the air, but I'm sure you can.
Come on.
You can call. I mean, you know, if anyone out there wants to replace me on the air, sure, we can all talk about it. I guess, you know, that's part of what this show is all about. So, yeah, who goes on? I guess you can be on next week, and we'll have to decide the weeks after that.
Because I hate being called up, you know, completely blind without knowing, you know, in the last few minutes when I should go down.
Oh, you love unpredictability. Come on.
Well, you know, hey, I do run some kind of organized life here.
Yes, right, of course. We all know that. We're all organized here at WUSB.
That's right.
Stony Brook.
All right, well, all right. I just want to get my 2 cents in there.
All right. Well, actually, what did you say? You didn't say anything about Albania or about the state of the world or what you did on the 4th of July?
I'm waiting for the serious reply from Albania, you know, we're all hanging on with bated breath.
What did you do for the 4th of July? That's what I want to know.
What did I do?
Did you see the fireworks?
I worked, man.
You didn't see the fireworks?
I worked. No, fireworks.
Well, there are great fireworks at Smith Haven Mall.
What were they, Grucci?
Best thing I saw at Smith Haven Mall in a long time. Yeah, they were Grucci's.
Oh, cool.
Yep.
No, I missed out, man.
Set them up in the farm field across the street, and they blew up real good.
Uh-huh. Wow, incredible. Now, where was I? After work, I went to, I went back home and did a load of dishes.
Uh-huh.
And,
Well, this wasn't on the 4th. This was on Sunday, before the 4th, Sunday night.
Night.
Yeah.
Gee, I'm a little foggy on that.
Can't remember where you were, huh? If anybody knows where Tom Baker was on Sunday night, please call us.
I do remember this. While I was working, there was an incredible amount of planes going overhead.
Uh-huh.
All different types of planes.
Uh-huh.
And I remember that distinctly. And, you know, one of these days, I'm going to get my plane identification kit and set it up in, you know, in the yard where I work and get that part of my life together. Because, you know, it's quite interesting. Bird identification, planes, all things that fly overhead when you work outdoors are incredibly fascinating.
Well, everything is fascinating. You just
especially
have to have an open mind.
A simple mind to work with.
Well, you either have a simple mind or an open mind, but hopefully both, you know. A simple open mind is, you know, the best thing you could possibly have, I always say.
Yeah. I'm going to wait for your special guest, Eric.
Okay, well, the special guest is here. However, the special guest has been struck dumb because we are trying to find headphones so that they can listen. If anybody out there knows where the headphones are, please call us and tell us. Do they work? No? Okay, we're working it out, folks. Every week we go through this. But we're trying to find the person headphones so he can hear what's going on over the airwaves, and then when we come back, we'll have a special guest and all that. 632-6901, area code 516. Good evening.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you tonight, Eric?
Okay, who's this?
This is Bryant.
Bryant.
I'm calling from on campus. I'm one of the science people that they have housed here for 3 weeks. We're the people who are dealing with the space research.
They locked you in, didn't they?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, you can't get out. You have to order pizza, right?
No, well, actually, they decided to serve us food, but as you've commented before, it's not very good. You have to catch it first.
Uh-huh.
But
I feel bad about that, but, you know, it's all government research, so I don't really care.
Well, not necessarily. I mean, considering they serve it in the building there, the whole downstairs is mold.
Uh-huh.
I don't know how they can get away with that.
Uh-huh.
So what are you talking about tonight?
Well, we're talking about, the Albanian uprising. The, what? Oh, the headphones work. Wonderful, wonderful. Okay, we're talking about the revolt in Albania. Even as we speak, Albanians are revolting.
Oh, yeah, that's right here, page 7 of Newsday. Yeah, I have it in front of me.
Well, I didn't get today's Newsday because I didn't wake up until 7 o'clock.
Yeah, they have it right under a beautiful picture of a chemical plant that blew up in Texas. All kinds of fun stuff.
A chemical plant that blew up in Texas?
Yeah, it's
why
says,
are those things always happening?
It's Arco Chemical Company.
Uh-huh.
And they have a picture, and the thing looks like a total wasteland.
Wow.
So.
Well,
yeah.
That's kind of sad. What do you think is going to...
Because, like I said, we're locked up here on campus, and for some reason you can't find a Newsday anywhere around here.
No, you can't. And you know what? Speaking of Smith Haven Mall, you can't find a Newsday anywhere in the whole mall.
There is one place. I don't know if we're allowed to name names. There's a drugstore by the food court down there.
By the food court?
Yeah, way down. It's I think it's Rite Aid or something. Not allowed to say that. Sorry.
Well, no, you can say Rite Aid, but there's a Rite Aid by the Macy's, but that Rite Aid never has pictures.
No. I think that closed up and they moved.
What I'd like to know is, why are there two Tommy cans within 50 feet of each other?
That's kind of stupid, but that I think one's men's shoes and one's women's shoes. But then again, that's segregation, so you have a whole other topic there.
Boy, that's really something.
And then there's all this censorship of the art going on. And I heard you last week, you're talking about the Two Live Crew, whereas Doomsayer was talking about, I think, Live Two Crew or something like that. Two Live Crew, whatever you think.
Two Crew Live, he always calls it, yeah.
But this is getting out of hand here.
That's his prerogative, though.
Everything is.
Uh-huh.
Censoring that, all the segregation that's going on, it's totally nuts out in the real world.
You know, it was really funny, with all this hysteria about flag burning and all, we went to the fireworks about a week or so ago, and they handed out flags to everybody that came. I mean, hundreds of thousands of flags they had, little plastic ones, Boy Scouts were handing them out to people, and every single one of these flags in big blue letters said, Made in China.
Now, that's good.
Surely they had to know how ridiculous that was going to seem when they gave it out to people, but they gave it out nonetheless.
It's a feeling of nationalism.
It certainly is. And I also wonder, I assume this is Communist China. Why is Communist China making flags for us?
That's another good question.
It seems like the world is a crazy place.
Well, in terms of flag burning, I had what I thought was a really logical answer, which was just to make all the flags fireproof. They
now,
make
wait a
like,
minute.
Children's like night clothing or something
that
fireproof.
My...
They do something that retards the flame.
That was my idea. I had that idea on this show a year ago, but let me add another one to that.
Hmm.
I also aired this one last year, too. Either you make them fireproof or you make them explode whenever you light a match on them. That way whoever tries...
Right, that would be.
Whoever tries lighting a flag, you know, gets incinerated or insinuated
or something. But, one of my friends I told to cut that to, and they said, no, that would never work because it makes too much sense for our government to do it.
That's right, yeah, I didn't
particularly
think of
logical, too. That's about the way it works.
Uh-huh. You know, we all seem to be so cynical tonight. Have you noticed that? On this show, the most cynical people call. They say, oh, that you know, the government doesn't do anything that makes sense. And, you know, I'm right up there with you, but...
Yeah, well, to get more cynical, I just went to a movie last night, and they did one of those. Now, I'm not against collecting for the special funds. This happened to be that Jimmy Fund or whatever,
uh-huh.
for kids who have, small kids who have cancer.
Uh-huh.
And, I mean, I'm all for giving to these things. I give to the Ronald McDonald House and,
uh-huh.
you know, all that stuff. But now they're getting to the point, they did this one other year, where they won't dim the lights, and they'll show you a clip of, like, all these poor little children and all the bad, horrible things that are happening to them and how they don't understand it. And then they'll two or three of the ushers come out with cans, and they'll walk up in front of you and hold it in front of you. Give money.
Yeah, yeah. You must have gone to the same theater, the one with, like, 55 different little theaters in it?
Yeah, I think so.
Right.
It's the Brookhaven one, I think it was.
Well, I had my friends over from Holland last week, and I took them to the multiplex because they had never heard of a mall that had nothing but theaters in it. And, yeah, we went there, and they asked for money on the screen, and then these people came around with cans and asked for more money. And it was interesting because they don't usually do that in many places.
Well, I mean, it's horrible to say, but you almost feel like not giving. You feel pressured.
Well, I very definitely felt like not giving after giving, what, $7 to see a film and then...
Did you see the food prices? That was another joke and a half.
Well, I mean, they could just add something onto that and then donate the proceeds that way.
I mean, well, that's like another thing I don't understand, because we have people in this group here that are from the city especially, and we get talking about movies. Everybody used to say how in the city the movies are so much more expensive. We're actually almost caught up with them now.
That's true. That is true. And also, you can't see any single theaters anymore. They're all multiplex, and they're all, you know, you either have three people in the whole theater watching a tiny screen, which, you know, I can beat that at my house.
Yeah.
Or, you know, you have these abandoned theaters that are being literally taken over by video stores.
Well, like, for example, right near my house, I live in Port Jeff Station.
Oh, there's one right there.
Yeah, they're putting a new Blockbuster in. Everywhere you go now, there is a new Blockbuster.
They're putting another Blockbuster in a theater?
Yeah, is Blockbuster owned by, like, some other foreign company, like the Japanese or something? I mean, they own everything else. I mean...
Well, this is what I heard about Blockbuster, okay? I heard that Blockbuster Video is owned by born-again Christians.
Oh, yes. No.
Yes, owned by BAC. There must be something we can call them. But anyway...
Facts.
I challenge anybody out there to go and get a copy of The Last Temptation of Christ. I'm told that if you try getting that, they turn ashen white and usher you out of the store immediately.
You're bursting into flames or something.
Something like that. Now, I did see somebody ask at Blockbuster Video to get that film, and they said there's a big asterisk next to it on the computer, and they said the only way we can get this is if you buy the film.
Hmm.
And, you know, it's a few million dollars to buy the rights to the film.
Big chain like that, that's really surprising, too.
Uh-huh. Well, it's a major film. You know, it's not like pornography. This is a major film. And if in fact, they are doing this, that is a very real form of censorship, especially since there's so many Blockbuster videos around. Now, I'd like for the USB listeners to go out there and research this a little bit and see if you can get that film there. And if not, report back here. And we'll take further action.
Yeah, that's not surprising, though. I mean, once again, here you have the censorship. It's getting really, really out of hand.
Uh-huh.
The point where, I think you commented on it, but I don't remember. Back a couple weeks ago when Mandela was visiting this city, two of the congressmen around here, I don't remember the name of the one, but the other was Hawk Brockner.
Yes, Hawk Brockner.
He was invited to it, and he gave some really incredibly lame excuse for not attending because he was afraid that it might hurt his image.
Well, you know, I think he cares a little too much about his image because he voted for the amendment to the Constitution, to the Bill of Rights, to, you know, to quote-unquote protect the flag. And I don't see how somebody elected by, you know, by his constituency could say something like that.
Yeah,
really, how could a liberal Democrat
say that? The other guy, Engelbreit, I think that was it.
What?
Steve Englebright. I think he was the other guy.
Well, he's not he's a county legislator.
Yeah. But that was it then. But that really disappointed me because I actually met him one time. I went to, he was giving a talk somewhere, and I went to see him. And he's a very bright man, but the only thing that I, not to criticize him a whole lot, but the only problem is he doesn't come across very well. He's not a public type speaker.
Uh-huh.
His ideas and his thoughts are excellent, and I understood what he's talking about, but he almost tends to put people to sleep.
Uh-huh.
And it's really a shame, because, I mean, nowadays, we can't have that. I mean, we have to do things. Our ozone layer is practically gone.
Well, you know, a lot of politicians do put people to sleep. I mean, even high-ranking ones.
Yeah.
But if it's at a level where you can actually communicate with the person, then, you know, offer constructive criticism. That's what it's all about.
Yeah.
Because you can actually have an effect, you know.
Okay.
You can't affect George Bush. There's nothing you can say that's going to influence him. But you can't affect people on a local scale. Even Hochberger we can affect.
Yeah.
You know, he's got an office here, and we should make our presence known if he does something that displeases us. Anyway, we're going to move on to some more things. Thanks very much for calling.
Have a good night.
All right, you too.
Bye-bye.
And we have a special guest here.
Hi there.
Hi there. That's the voice of Rob from Amsterdam. We had a guest from Amsterdam last week. We had Paul from Amsterdam. This is another person. Paul is now in California, and Rob has arrived from Amsterdam into New York.
They keep flooding in.
Flooding in. It's amazing. They promise they're going to go back, so we don't have to worry about them taking up our living space and, you know, eating our food and all that kind of thing, you know, like East Germans pouring into West Germany. No, they're not going to do that. They're just coming to visit, and then they're going back. So Rob is here. Rob is sort of my counterpart in Holland. I publish a computer hacker magazine. He publishes a computer hacker magazine in Amsterdam. We both sort of do the same thing.
I don't do a radio show, though.
But you were involved in radio.
Years ago.
Uh-huh. You said you owned your own radio station.
Well, it was a very small radio station, let's put it at that.
Very, very small.
We built the transmitter ourselves, and you could receive us all over the band.
All over the band? You mean you wandered around up and down the dial?
Sort of, yeah. Well, when the transmitter got hot, we moved, say, 4 or 5 megahertz.
You see, in Holland, how many stations are on the whole FM dial?
Different stations, you mean?
Yeah, different stations. I mean, if I go up and down the FM...
Six?
Six stations. Now, here, I mean, you've been tuning the FM dial quite a bit, I've noticed, and you're shocked by what you find.
Yeah, there's more stations. American radio is much better than most European radio.
Uh-huh.
There's always two or three really good stations on the dial.
Well, you hear really good songs, but a lot of the stations just play those songs over and over again.
Oh, yeah.
And you get tired of it after a while.
Yeah, but there's enough other stations. I mean, if you're used to a situation where there's six stations, one news station, one popular music station, one other music station, there's one jazz station, and that's it. Then you're sort of very glad when there's more stations, and you don't really mind if they play if have play, 30 song playlists.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, I think if you were here for a few months, you'd start getting a little dissatisfied with American radio, but because, you know, in Holland, you don't have that much choice as to what's on the air.
Oh, yeah, we have cable radio, though.
What's cable radio?
Radio that comes into your house on a coaxial cable.
But, I mean, who programs it?
They pick up signals from all over the place. BBC, German radio, French radio, local radio, four or five stations. So that's really full. But you pay for it, and you can't take it out in the car or anywhere else. Unless you have
a long
cable.
And most of us listen to the radio when we're in the car, right? I mean, I'll bet there's more people listening to us in the car right now than anywhere else.
Could be.
I mean, people don't really sit at home all that much and turn on the radio and sit in front of it like they used to. A lot of us listen as we're driving around. Or, you know, jogging or swimming, flying. I don't know. I'd like to know when people listen to the radio. So cable radio, yeah, it's got some advantages, but some disadvantages as well.
I think it sucks.
Yeah, well, that's one valid opinion. Now, you're in this country for how? This is the first time you've ever been in this country.
Yep.
Now, you arrived in New York on, what day?
The 3rd of July.
Okay, so, now you've seen New York City. We spent some time in New York yesterday. Quite a bit of time, actually. In all different parts of New York, too, at all different hours. I think that's the way to see it. You know, a lot of people come to New York and they see the Statue of Liberty and they see the Empire State Building, which, you know, you probably want to see too. But you've seen some other things, haven't you?
We've been driving around the city through, where were we? What was that part? Jamaica?
Well, Jamaica was nice, yeah. We went
6 o'clock in the morning or something?
6 o'clock in the morning in Jamaica. This sounds like a Simon and Garfunkel song. We went through, I think, East New York at about 4 in the morning. We didn't quite make it to the Bronx, but we will get there, I promise. Just wandering about, you know? You're in a good section of Queens when you find train crossings, you know? There aren't many train crossings in Queens, but we found a couple. And, there's all kinds of day-to-day life. You know, you have to go somewhere and you got to live there. You can't be a tourist. And I think that's the secret. But this is also not only the first time you've been in New York, but the first time you've been in the United States. And of course, we're always curious how people view this country, how they view the society. And I know you've had some interesting theories and thoughts and arguments that you've gotten into people with. Anything you want to share?
Well, there was this funny form I had to fill in when I flew into this country. They gave me this pink form at the airline desk when I checked in.
This is when you got to this country?
No, this is in Belgium.
This is in Belgium. Okay, you left.
And they
from
gave
Belgium.
Me this form and said that I had to fill it in on the plane and then give it to U.S. Immigration.
Whose form was it? It was the U.S. Immigration.
It was
form?
A U.S. Immigration form.
Okay.
And it had this entire list of are you in one of the following groups, and then it has all these groups, like are you contaminated with a disease listed as contagious.
What did they do? Well, of course, AIDS is on there. We have a policy against admitting people with AIDS.
Yeah, though all the other diseases are put up there by the health authorities, and AIDS was put up there by Congress, which is ridiculous.
Yeah.
But one of these things was, are you or have you ever been a member of a communist or subversive organization?
Are you or have you ever been
a
member of a communist or a subversive organization?
Joseph McCarthy is not dead. He's alive and well, works with immigrations.
That is incredible. That is incredible. And the implication was if you said yes, they would not let you into the country.
If you said yes, you would either be hassled or you would not be let into the country. But, I mean, every foreigner that comes into this country without a permanent residence permit or a Canadian passport, I think, has to fill in this form.
That's amazing. And why do you think that is? I mean, what could... Even if you were a communist or subversive organization leader or something, even if 100 such people or 1,000 such people entered the country, what could they do? What do you think they would be able to do with it? Why are we so paranoid about this?
I have no idea.
Well, you must have an idea, a thought. It's, you know, how do Europeans look upon us? Why are we so touchy about such things? I mean, how would Holland deal with someone who was in a communist or subversive organization, as well as people with transmissible diseases?
Well, there is, I think, a list of diseases that get you shut out of Holland, but they are contagious, mm-hmm. instead of just transmittable from one person to another.
Mm-hmm. And as far as the organizations that you would be members of, you're free to be a member of any organization you want?
I think so. I've never traveled into Holland as a foreigner, but I heard no people complain of not being able to get in or being hassled.
Yeah, I've traveled into the United States as a native, and I can tell you it's tough. You know, they ask you a lot of questions. It's tougher getting back in than it is getting into other countries, you know, with the possible exception of East Germany, but that's something else. But, you know, if you were a member of a subversive organization...
What is a subversive organization?
What's the definition of subversive?
I mean, they ask you if you are a member of a communist or subversive organization. They don't define it.
As if they're both the same thing. Now, in many
countries,
communism
is not subversive. Well, they say or, they don't say
subversive.
And.
Right. But, yeah, but the implication is there that subversive is communist and all that kind of thing. But subversive means pretty much, I mean, what's your definition of subversive?
Undermining whatever... the party that defines the word thinks is
okay.
Is good.
Okay. So wouldn't it be in the interest of somebody in a subversive group to lie when they're asked a question like that?
Well, wouldn't everybody define
like asking
subversive...
somebody, are you a liar? You know, what's the point of asking the question?
No, but isn't subversive automatically something that is your enemies? Are you a member of an organization that is our enemies?
Uh-huh.
You don't, I mean...
Well, if you were an enemy, you would probably feel free to lie, right? Because it's, you know...
I would, if I were an enemy, my definition of the word subversive would mean my enemies.
Uh-huh. Well, okay, now this is what I want, folks. And next time you come into this country, make sure you get an extra copy of that form, you know? Now, if we're natives going out, I guess you can get one of those forms by simply saying that you're not a citizen coming back in and then saying, oh, I forgot, I am a citizen, and taking the pink form and going into the right line. But bring one of those, I want one of those pink forms here. If I have to get it myself, I will. But I want to see exactly what it says, what it looks like, who makes it, when it was made. Did it look like an old form? Is it a new form?
I can't really tell. It doesn't look like a form of the last 2 years, but it's not a 50s form or something.
Uh-huh. All right. So what is the view? And I guess I can invite listeners to call in if they have any questions for Rob, 632-6901. What is the view in your country and in your circle of this country? And having come here, has that been confirmed or, you know, what have you gained so far?
I think America is very much like the picture, not very much like the picture most Europeans have, but like the picture a lot of Europeans have, because we have a lot of American TV programs, American films, American movies, fast food chains, Pizza Huts, everything.
Yeah, you name it, you'll find it in Amsterdam, that's for sure.
Or any other big European city.
There wasn't a single European city I was in that didn't have a McDonald's. Even small German towns, everyone had a McDonald's. Small British towns, they all had them. So, I mean, do you look upon that as a positive thing for your country?
Well, we had a big laugh about the, I think it was the owner or the manager of Pizza Hut, and I think it was the owner of all these chains, and he had made a real big contribution to the Bush campaign, and now they made him ambassador to Holland. He knows nothing of foreign politics or anything of the sort. He just made a big campaign contribution. Dutch politics were very pissed about this.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Oh, it was fun. I mean, that's the kind of guy that should be in that position.
Well, now, you've heard some of the things we're talking about on the radio. We're talking about censorship. We're talking about the rise of nationalism, it seems, and territorialism and all that kind of thing. Is that reflected over there? You know, are people aware of what's going on here? Things like the flag-burning amendment proposal, things like censorship of music.
Some people are. Things that happen in America and views of Americans tend to get well distributed in Europe because we have, for instance, all of Amsterdam gets CNN, and most of Holland does it. And
is it the same CNN we get, or is that a different?
No, thing? No, it's CNN International. It's the mixture between headline news and CNN.
And it's in English.
And it's in English, well, American, and that's one thing. It has. If you look at CNN in Europe, you get. Someone starting to say something, and then they cut him off and play some music, and then put him back on. And I know he's saying something that's getting on the American version that doesn't make it to the international version.
Well, who's cutting it?
CNN.
Why?
I have no idea. I think it could be as simple as affiliate stations broadcasting advertisements or whatever.
Oh, so when a commercial comes on.
Yeah. Or something like it. I get two or three stills of Ireland and some Irish music, and that's it.
That's probably between segments, right? It's not in the middle of a segment.
Yeah.
Because there'd be no reason for you to want to see a commercial in the United States. I mean, you probably would want to see it, but there's no, you know, reason for you to see it.
But I get other commercials. It's not that, like, I don't get the commercials.
Uh-huh.
Just that at some spots I get strange pieces of music, and we have that with a lot of American channels and American radio that gets broadcasted out there. It has blank spots in it.
You see, what bothers me, and I've mentioned this many times, you get all these things. You get McDonald's and Pizza Hut, and you get CNN, but we don't get anything. You know, it's not because your country doesn't provide anything. It's because we don't seem to be interested in getting anything. And I know I'm interested in getting things. I play tapes from Germany and from the Soviet Union, but I'd like to play, you know, more interesting things as well. How much is available? How much comes to us? We don't get music, you know. We don't get... there's a whole world of music that we don't hear that... I'm sure you have things in your country that are not in this country, you know, music-wise, art-wise. And...
sure.
I think it would do, you know, it would do well to... be brought over here.
Well, get out there, buy the records, buy the...
Yeah, but where do we buy the records, you see? There's no place that sells them. You have to go over there and get them.
Well, so?
I guess that's not that hard.
No. Or get someone out there that buys the records for you, or...
I mean, you've traveled over here to the United States, and like when I went over to Europe, you've brought one bag with you. You seem to find traveling very easy. Now, for our listeners that might think it's not that easy, what, do you have any advice?
Well, buy the ticket, get on the plane, and...
just go.
Don't allow yourself to be hassled. My bag was lighter when I arrived than when I left, though.
Yeah, it's fun to get into that a little bit.
I brought a stack of back issues of the magazine I publish, Hacktic, and a stack of new ones, and they fell out somewhere between when I checked my luggage in and when I checked it out. Which
they,
is funny.
Fell just the back issues of the Hacker magazine.
They must have fell through this tiny little hole that sits next to the zipper. Because they were all gone. And the rest was still there, and...
The rest of your luggage was still there.
Yeah. So somewhere in that process of people opening it, closing it again, x-raying it, someone must have liked my magazine.
Tell me about your magazine. It's called Hacktic. What does Hacktic mean?
What does it mean? Well, it's hectic. It's there's a lot of things happening in it. It's a hacker magazine, so it's written HACK.
Okay, what does the tick mean?
Hasn't really been thought of.
Well, you must have named it that for some reason.
Yeah, because it was hectic. It was
hectic?
Yeah.
Oh, hectic. As in
You get it.
I never got that before. Okay, it's hectic, so you said hectic. But is that a Dutch word? How do you say hectic in Dutch?
Hectisch. But hectic will also do.
Uh-huh. And you've gotten strong response to the magazine.
We have something like 800 or 900 subscribers.
Most in Holland.
And Belgium.
And what kind of things do you cover? What kinds of...
Things that are interesting for computer hackers, telephone freaks, technological enthusiasts, anything.
It's so interesting to see this because, you know, we've been doing the same thing here in this country, and to see somebody doing the same thing in another country and just sort of comparing what's going on. See a lot of similarities, a lot of differences. But it's neat to know that there are people in every country that are interested in how things work, how technology works. Now, this is your first time in this country. Is there anything odd about our technology? Any kind of question you might have?
Oh, yeah, the phone system's funny.
Uh-huh. Well, this phone system here is really funny. You know, you can laugh all night about this one.
The digital one.
This is a digital phone system that we have here, yes. But do you have any kind of question, things maybe I could demonstrate here for you? All right, let me demonstrate this. I'll demonstrate how New York operators or international operators don't know a lot of things. Now, they may know the... Let me demonstrate. Well, let's get an AT&T operator. I think this will probably be the easiest way to do this. And, folks, you might want to write this down. First, we're going to get a local operator. We have to get a local operator and ask the AT&T operator.
New York Telephone, Ms. Lace, help you?
Yes, can I have AT&T, please?
Really?
Then they put on this recording.
One moment for an operator who can assist you. Thank you.
And now AT&T will ring, and they will greet us by saying...
AT&T, how can we help you?
Yes, hi, operator. I need a couple of country codes, please.
Okay.
I need the country code for England.
44.
A country code for Czechoslovakia.
Oh, I don't know that one offhand. Hold on.
Okay.
Keep going. Tell me another one.
Okay, and the last one is India.
91.
Okay. And the only other one is Czechoslovakia.
Okay. Hang on a sec. And that is 42.
42. Thank you very much.
Welcome.
All right. 42, that is the answer. Now, you know, it's not much difficulty getting that information. However, ask something that you think that they would know. You know, something a little bit, maybe even simpler.
This one, may I have
it? Yes, AT&T, please.
Thank you.
Go through the whole same process again.
One moment for an operator who can assist you. Thank you.
This is going to be so much fun.
AT&T, Matthew?
Yes, operator. I need to know the country code for the United States, please.
It depends on what city you're calling to, sir.
Well, I plan to be out of the country, and I plan to be calling back to New York, but I don't know what the country code for the United States is.
You'll be calling to this number that you're speaking from?
No, I'll probably be calling to another number, but it's near this number, but it's not the same number. Excuse me?
Will it be the same area code?
Yes, it should be the same area code.
Direct dialing or billing to another or billing some other way?
I was probably going to direct dial, but I was also thinking of calling collect, depending on how my vacation money is going.
Okay. To call direct, you'll dial 1, the area code and number. To call collect, you'll dial 0, the area code and number.
Okay, but what is the country code?
It'll be whatever area code that you're calling to.
I see. So, does the United States have a country code?
An overall broad country code, 1 number or 3 numbers, something like the United Kingdom?
I'm sorry, I didn't understand that.
Okay. The United States has more than 1 area code, okay?
Right, I know that, but it's the country code I'm interested in. You see, like England is 44, Czechoslovakia is 42, India is 91. You see, they don't know the country code.
Whatever area code you're in, that's what our country codes are. It depends on where you're calling.
Okay, so what you're saying is the country code differs from every area code that we call.
That's correct. Like if you're calling from the 212 area, it would be 212. That would be the country code. Since you're in the 516 area code, that would be the 516 country code.
Okay, thank you very much. I can't handle this. So you see, we have lots of fun with technology here. They don't know what the country code for their own country is. And the country code for this country, by the way, is 1.
No, it's not.
Well, it is, but we share
it's not.
We share it with Canada. The country code is 1.
Oh, it's not a country code.
Well, it's
not an integrated numbering zone.
Okay, but it is a. As far as people in the other part of the world are concerned, it's a country code. You dial a country code plus 1. You know, you do that for Canada. You do that for for United States. You do that for the Bahamas.
Huh?
It's integrated, right? But the 1 is the country code equivalent, if not the country code itself. It's like 7 is the same thing for the Soviet Union.
Yep.
Which. They'd know that sooner than they'd know anything else. But even if they could just tell me what I do to call back to the United States, it's so simple. You know, you just dial 1 first. You know, you dial whatever you need to dial an international call, and then you dial 1, and then the area code. But she thinks that every area code is a country code. She has no conception of what a country code is, really. You know? Do operators in Holland act like that?
We only have international operators. There is no such thing as operators that handle calls within the country.
What happens if you're having trouble making a call?
You call maintenance.
Really?
No other operators, no. Yeah, you were just walking around me doing all sorts of things.
Oh, yeah, we have to maintain the studio sometimes. So, this is fun. You might get a kick out of this if I can access it. We have a special nice little computer here that we call when our phone is broken.
Good evening. You have reached New York Telephone Repair Service. This is an automated repair service line. You will be asked a series of questions to help us repair the trouble. Most questions will require a yes or a no response. Yes is always indicated by pressing 1, no by pressing 2. In all cases, you will be given instructions. Should you require an agent at any time during this call, press 0. To continue, press 1.
Okay, let's press 1. We'll continue.
Please enter the area code and telephone number that you are reporting. If you make a mistake, press the star key. Enter the area code and telephone number now.
Well, I don't know what number to enter. I'll enter our number. But it's not a real telephone number, so they won't find anything on it.
You have entered area code 516 and phone number 6326901. If this number is correct, press 1. If incorrect, press 2. Please hold on momentarily while we retrieve your repair records.
They won't find them, though, because there are no records.
Please hold for the next available agent.
Okay, that's the last thing we want to do is talk to an agent. So what would happen if you did actually enter a valid phone number? You would get your records retrieved. It would ask you several questions. Are you having trouble making calls? Are you having trouble receiving calls? Are you having trouble with your spouse? You know, all these things. And you simply answer yes or no, and it does the appropriate thing. Sometimes it's more helpful than humans. Only a couple of weeks ago, we had a cable failure in our area. And that computer, that little computer there, said to me, there is a cable failure in your area. It will be fixed by 7 p.m. tomorrow. And it gave the date. The next day, the phone company called me and said, you reported trouble on your line, didn't you? I said, yes. And the computer told me that there was a cable failure. They didn't know anything about it. The humans didn't know anything about the cable failure, but the computer did. So I was wondering, did the computer go out and fix it? Or are they expecting the humans to somehow read its mind and know about this? The problem is still there, too, sometimes. So maybe it didn't tell anybody else except me. So it's kind of crazy what happens with these systems. We also have, and I think this will work here, it's a little bit tricky, We have a special collect number when you make collect calls. Unfortunately, I seem to have lost the phone. One moment. Okay, this thing is broken again. Hold on, Holly. There we go. Okay. We're going to make a collect call to ourselves. And hopefully this will work. Okay. Here we go.
Welcome to New York Telephone's automated operator service. If you want to place a collect call, dial 1-1. To charge this call to your calling card, dial your calling card number. To place a person-to-person call, dial 0 for the operator.
Okay, we'll try a collect call.
At the customer's request, collect calls may not be made to this number. Please hang up and try another billing option.
Okay, but what I will do is call my own answering machine, collect. I've lost the phone again. And you'll see what happens.
Please hold for operator assistance.
Uh-oh. I wonder why I did that. My phone number's been flagged? Is that what happened? Well, anyway, it's supposed to ask you what your name is, and you can say anything you want. You can say anything you want, and you can pass along a message in various ways. Of course, people don't do that, but you could. You could do things like that. And it's an interesting way of doing things. Everything is getting automated, you know. Credit is automated. Here, I'll show you our credit system. We used to dial 211, and we'd get a human that would say what number you dialed. They would give you credit for the wrong number. But now, you get something else.
To receive credit, dial 1 now. Enter the 10-digit number you called now.
All right, we'll make up a number. 516. 987. 1234.
If you would like the credit applied to your telephone number, enter 1 now. Otherwise, enter 2 now.
Let's enter 2 now.
Please hold and an operator will answer.
Let's see if an operator actually answers.
We are closed at this time. Credit requests can be processed between 7 a.m. and 6 p.m. every day.
And that's the story there. See, it's automated, but it's not convenient. And also, I should point out that that number that I gave was a completely fictitious one, and it was prepared to give me credit for a fictitious number, which leads me to believe sometimes they might not give you credit at all. So that's a very brief guide to our system here.
Yeah, it's complicated, though, if you have to dial something like 30 digits to make one phone call.
That's certainly true. And also, it takes a lot longer to get a human. In other words, if I dial an O-plus call now, I dial O and 7 digits. Used to be, you get that little bong, that little fading dial tone there. Then you dial 0, and the operator would be there. Now you dial 0, and it says, "Welcome to New York Telephone's automated, you know, whatever." And then you have to wait and wait and wait about 30 seconds before you can finally get a human operator if you want one. So they make it much harder to do that, and much more inconvenient for people that don't have these touchtone phones and know exactly what they want. And the same thing with directory assistance now. That's all automated as well. It's weird the way it works. The directory assistance operator pushes a button. That button sends a greeting out. It says, "Hello, this is Mr. Smith. How can I help you?" You think Mr. Smith has actually said that to you, but Mr. Smith has just pressed the button, and then you say, "Yes, I want the number for Oscar's All Night Kosher Deli." And if you're lucky, he'll say, "Okay, hold on a minute," and you'll hear his live voice saying that. Otherwise, he'll just push the button, and the other voice will say, "The number is so-and-so." And he has very little to say, very little to do, and soon probably nothing to do, except collect unemployment somewhere. That's the way it's moving here. I mean, it's a lot of fun to play with, but it's got its side effects. So that's our phone system in a nutshell. Any observations or questions or things like that?
No, don't think so.
All right, well, let's see if we can get some phone calls in, 632-6901. Anyone has any suggestions or questions for Rob as far as how our country looks or how things work, feel free to give us a call. Good evening.
Hey, what's up, man?
Hey, how you doing?
What are you guys talking about tonight?
Are you listening to the radio?
No, I just came in.
Ah, well, we've got Rob from Holland here, and he's here in the United States for the very first time in his life.
How do you like it?
It's okay. It's a nice country. There could be some minor improvements, but
a lot different, I guess, from Holland.
In some respects, yes. In some respects, no.
What respects, no?
The fast food chains all look the same.
Well, this is where they came from, you know. Of course they're going to look the same here.
What about racism?
We don't have that much of it, luckily. There is one political party. We have, by the way, something like 20 political parties. There is one political party that expresses racist ideas, but they get trouble with the law every couple of months, and they have something like... they are getting more and more votes, though, but they have something like 2.5% or 3% of the votes. But it's nice that the political system allows for such small parties, although one or two of them may be racist, because you can see how big the problem actually is.
Right.
Here, if there's a vote here, you know they're hidden somewhere within probably the Republican Party, but you don't know how big that group actually is.
Okay. All right, thanks a lot.
Okay, thanks for calling. Phone number 632-6901. Why do you think it is we only have two parties here, though, to speak of? I mean, we have lots of other parties, but they never even get paid attention to.
Because they don't have any money.
It's more than that, though. I mean, the media doesn't cover them, you know, and people, for the most part, don't seem to even know they exist. I mean, yeah, if they had money, that would change, but I don't think that's the only reason they're being ignored, you know. I mean, they don't fit into the framework of what you know, what we're supposed to be talking about or how we're supposed to be approaching it. You know, the Socialist Workers Party just doesn't work on the 6 o'clock news somehow.
Is there one?
Yeah, we have them. We have all kinds of socialist parties. We have all kinds of we probably have a Green Party somewhere around. Liberal and conservative ones too, you know. I'd like to know more about all of them. It'd be a real trip if these different parties actually had a chance of winning an election once in a while. It would sure make more people vote, I think. Because here, what was it, 1984? Something like 28% of the registered American voters elected Ronald Reagan president.
28%?
And they called it a landslide? Because so few people voted.
Gee.
And that's only the registered voters. All the people that didn't register. You know, it's sad to think that people have this view. And, you know, we'll suffer for it, certainly. You know, we'll get leaders that aren't worthy of being leaders because nobody cares. You see what happens when people don't care. You know, if you've lived in a situation, a dormitory or something where... You know, your roommate doesn't care, doesn't clean up after himself, or where, you know, the people in the hall don't care, or fellow students, or whatever. If you've seen that happen, you've seen the quality of life go down, disintegrate. Same thing can happen to the whole country if we don't care, if we think it's all going to hell. You know, we need an upbeat kind of attitude. That's what I get out of Holland. People in Holland seem to have a very upbeat attitude. Is that just my observation, or does that seem to hold?
Could be, because we are getting less and less people to vote also. It's not all good. How many people voted last time? I'm trying to think here. I think it was something like, for American standards, may still be very a lot, but we got something like 70% for national elections, 70% of entitled voters.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going down, and for the last city elections in Amsterdam, we had only something like 60% or 50% or even less. So it's going down. Especially interest in local politics is strongly going down in the last 10 years.
Well, that's been happening here, too. You know, everything's been going down.
The local politics
are
the
really
most, are the most important.
Of course. Of course. Yeah, here, too, the local, you know, the county legislature and the state assembly. I mean, it was just today, and I wish we had more time to talk about this, but I believe it was Louisiana where the state senator or the state house narrowly rejected a very tough anti-abortion bill that would have made it illegal to perform an abortion even in the case of rape or incest. Even in the case of rape or incest, would have provided a 10-year prison term for any physician that performed an abortion. And it's a pretty sick situation because they're coming very close to overturning a landmark abortion rights case, Roe versus Wade. Supreme Court is very close to overturning that. And at this point, states can do this. States can have these crazy laws that will make it illegal. And we seem to be moving backwards in time. But it's local, you know, it's local elections that make these things happen. And if you want to move back in time, then elect people on the local level first. And you'll see yourself go back in time very quickly. Anyway, our phone number is 632-6901. If anyone out there knows any Dutch, I kind of doubt they do. Do you think many people around here know Dutch?
I don't think so.
All right, well, prove us wrong, folks. If anyone out there knows Dutch, we want you to call in and say something to Rob in Dutch. And then you
will
hear. Because that way you'll be able to say something to these people, and I will have no idea what you're talking about. And, you know, the people out there just love saying things that I don't understand.
Boring.
Yeah, well, for me it is. I don't know about you. Depends what they say. So call us at 632-6901, area code 516. And while you're racing for your dictionaries to try to figure out something to say in Dutch, I want to play a song. Because we only have a few minutes left, and I did want to play this song. It's by Peter, Paul, and Mary. Yes, I know, all you people getting ready for the metal show are going to say, oh, he's playing Peter, Paul, and Mary. I can't believe this. This is a very rare record, folks. It came out back in the 60s. And it's a song about Nelson Mandela. Nelson Mandela, right after he got locked up, apparently. I don't know exactly when it came out, but a lot closer to when he got locked up than now, certainly. And the song is called The Great Mandela, The Wheel of Life. And I think it's something that we should hear. Our phone number is 632-6901. If you know anything in Dutch or just have a question for our visiting Dutch guest, give us a call. 632-6901.
So I told him that he'd better shut his mouth and do his job like a man, and he answered, "Listen, Father, I will never kill another. He thinks he's better than his brother that died. What the hell does he think he's doing to his father who brought him up right? Take your place on the great Mandela as it moves through your brief moment of time. Win or lose now, you must choose now. And if you lose, you're only losing your life. Tell the jailer not to bother of bread and water today. He is fasting till the killing's over. He's a martyr. He thinks he's a prophet, but he's a coward. He's just playing a game. He can't do it. He can't change it. It's been going on for 10,000 years. Take your place on the great Mandela.
Certainly a depressing song there. The Great Mandela from Peter, Paul, and Mary, off an album called Album 1700, which I don't quite know what that means. Certainly didn't put out 1700 albums. Oh, I see. They actually played with the serial number, WS1700. And they called the album Album 1700. That's pretty clever, actually. The song, The Great Mandela, The Wheel of Life, here on WUSB in Stony Brook. And we have Rob here as our guest from Holland, and Rob has requested a sound effect. We have a sonic boom. You ready, Rob?
Of course.
Here we go. Oh, I'm sorry, I got messed up. Somebody played the wrong thing. Okay, we're going to wait for this to stop, and then we'll play it again. Our number is 632-6901, and while we're waiting for the sonic boom to come back, let's point out that I'm not going to be here for at least the next month. So if you want to get your last licks in, this is the time to do it. 632-6901. We only have a few minutes left. Actually, Rob and myself will be journeying throughout California, exploring unexplored lands that we've never seen before.
The search for the same Californian.
Yeah, what are we searching for? You know, and if anyone out there has any suggestions, what should we search for? Because I've never been there before. I've called there, but I've never been there. Okay, you ready for the sonic boom? Here we go. Ah! That sounded terrible, too. You see, Rob, the equipment here is falling apart. Nothing works. Hear that? Hear that? It's falling apart. Ah, I'm going to move it over here. I will get you a sonic boom if I have to go outside and make one myself. Here we go. Good one. Okay, let's go to the phones. Good evening.
Hello.
Yes.
This is Last Licks, right?
Yeah, Last Licks, you got it.
Where are we going?
We're going to California. We're off to California.
Why are you going there?
Because it's there. Why else? I've never been there.
Well, I'm going to Colorado next week, so...
Are you?
Yeah.
Oh, maybe our planes will pass.
Maybe they'll crash into each other, right?
Well, that would be a nice moment of intimate bliss, wouldn't it?
I'm just going because my aunt's there. My father's like, oh, we're going. When I was little, I always wanted to go, you know. But now I'm like, what's out there, you know?
Well, let's see what's out there.
We're gonna find out. We're gonna see everything that's there to see in Colorado Springs. But you just go in just to go.
Well, what we're gonna do is we're gonna fly out to I believe San Francisco, Oakland, San Jose area, and then rent a car and drive down to where?
Down.
Let's keep going down until we can't go down anymore.
Just like a vacation thing. It's not like.
No, this is work. Well, what I'm doing now is a vacation, but when I go traveling, that's work.
Oh.
Yeah, it's hard to travel.
Well, I've never been on an airplane before. I'm pretty young.
You've never been on an airplane before?
Never.
Oh, they go really fast, and the food stinks. That's all I can say.
Honey roasted peanuts. I understand that part.
Uh-huh.
My dad commutes a lot, so
yeah.
He tells me what it's like, but
uh-huh.
I don't think, you know, he's not quite accurate. Do you remember me? I called a while back.
Oh, what's a while back?
I can't remember. I think maybe... March.
March? Well, I might not remember you, but it's nothing personal.
I read my essay on the air.
Okay, I do remember somebody doing that, and that was probably you.
I was on racism, the Unitarian
Universalist
Fellowship.
Right, that was very good.
The award, remember?
Uh-huh.
And I was wondering, like, how your friend from,
Holland.
Holland, that's right. I was saying Dutchland, I'm thinking, like, no.
No, no.
He's Dutch, but he's from Holland, that makes sense, right? I remember... Like, you're saying that racism, you can see it in the parties there. But what I don't understand is that I have always understood that racism was kind of something that's kind of, like, covered up. That whenever someone asks you, are you racist, you say no. But you know whenever you see, like, a black person walk into your shop, you always think, well, you better watch them. They might steal something. You know what I mean? Like, I think that racism isn't, even though it might be evident, like, in their parties... Like, maybe, like, they know it's represented as 3% of the voting, right?
Uh-huh.
But I always thought that it was kind of, like, in the back of everyone's mind, and that maybe only a few would be, like, bold enough to be part of the KKK or, like, outwardly prejudiced.
Okay,
do you understand what I'm trying to say?
Well, why don't you relate that to Holland, you know?
I think that they don't really, maybe, I don't know, correct me if I'm wrong. But I don't think that they have, like, KKK and, like, you know, like, the NWA, which is, like, the black equivalent. And,
NWA is the black equivalent of the KKK?
It's the NWA. It's
I don't know
it's
about
like,
that. I mean, that's a musical group. How can you compare that to a group
of
people?
No, because it's also a political group. Well, people at school where I go, they,
uh-huh.
like, the idiots. Around Santa party NWA and they kick around the white kids.
Uh-huh. Well, that's not right.
I know it's not right. or this is great. They made up a club called Racial Relations.
Uh-huh.
I went to just like anybody could go.
Yeah.
It was the most racist people in the entire school just ranking on each other.
That's not unusual, believe it or not.
Me and my boyfriend, we sat there and watched like for like a whole half hour as they tried to organize it and it was like a joke.
Uh-huh. Well, I'm going to have Rupp answer your question. First, I'm going to take one more question from one more caller, and then, you know, we'll see if we can get an answer to that.
Okay. Right? So I'm going to, like, hold?
Well, you're going to listen to your radio. Okay?
Oh, okay.
And I want to wish you a good time in Colorado Springs.
All right. Yeah, you have fun in California because it's there.
Okay. Let's go to this one more caller, and we will say goodnight. Good evening.
What you do here?
that's a tragic question, actually, because you're not going to find out what's going on until another 5 weeks.
You do here.
Right. okay, all right. That, of course, for people that don't know, is a reference to the Tripod family. Yes, the Tripod family, which was not on tonight and will not be on next week or the week after that, but we'll be back in August, so you can find out what Howard is doing on the strange desert island. But Rob, that serious question that young lady asked, any response or comment?
The question being?
I guess, is there racism that's kind of hidden in Holland?
Of course. There is in practically every country, I think, which is sad.
Right.
But what I'm saying is it may sound contradictional, but I like it that there is a party that expresses those ideas because it keeps the big parties from expressing those ideas.
And also encourages them to condemn those ideas, I suppose.
Yes. It shows people that it's around.
Yeah, right now we have David Duke, who used to be a Grand Wizard of the Klan, who I believe is a Republican in New Orleans. And there's nothing the Republicans can do about it.
Yeah, but you have all these ties between very strong, say, white supremacy movement and the Republican Party, and maybe even to the Democrats.
Because it's the closest thing to them, the closest major thing to them.
Yeah, but that's sad, because that way they get much more influence on national politics than they should have.
Uh-huh. And much more publicity, too. We're going to have to leave it there. We're out of time. And, well, I don't know who's going to be here next week. Maybe Tom Baker will be, and I don't know who's going to be here in the weeks to follow, but somebody will be here. Brain Damage will carry on. I'll be back at some point in August, probably mid to late August. So,
hey, wait a minute.
What's that?
What happened to that operator that was going to call Albania for you?
They never call back. They never call back. They never call back. No matter how many times, I've never managed to succeed in getting an operator here to call Albania. I had to go to Canada to do it once. But that's another story.
Okay.
Rob, thanks very much for coming in. And, I guess we'll explore California and we'll report our findings when we get back. Good night, everybody, and have a nice summer.
Don't get desperate.
Okay, I don't know. Matt just suddenly jumped
Hi, this
in.
This is Matt with a
there
concert billboard for Sunday, July 8th.
Matt, you're crazy.
The Reggae Sunsplash with Burning Spear, Freddie McGregor, Shelly Thunder, and others will be at the pier. Inner Circle will be at Bay Street. Stevie Ray Vaughan and Joe Cocker will be at Jones Beach. Monday the 9th, Paul McCartney will be at Giant Stadium. He's also there on the 11th. Jackson Brown will be at the Beacon Theater on the 9th, 10th, and 11th. And the Judge will be at Anthrax in Norwalk, Connecticut. On the 10th, Jean-Luc Ponty and Stanley Jordan will be...